Ah, Wardo, you know, the Blue Jays had scored 33 runs in three games, then got shut out by the Yankees tonight.
Well, you know what? First and foremost, thanks a lot, Jeff, for having me on your show again.
Absolutely.
And you know what? The way the Jays have been playing here as of late, you know, I mean, you're going to run into a pitcher that's hot, and Kuroda looked like he was hot tonight. You know, only giving up, you know, two hits and facing, what was it, two over the minimum. Mm-hmm. I mean, just a stellar performance out of him. You got to take your hat off to him that he shut down some hot bats.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And, I mean, the Blue Jays putting up a hit in their first at-bat and then not again till one out in the seventh. And Kuroda was just dealing. Do you think it was more of a case of Kuroda shutting them down as opposed to the Blue Jays' inability to get a hit tonight?
No, I think it's just, you know, I mean, Kuroda, you know, take your hat off to the pitcher. I mean, that's what, you know, that's his job. He went out there and he pitched masterfully. I mean, that's you know, something that's going to happen every now and again. I mean, what do you think some of these teams are, you know, looked at themselves when they got, you know, a perfect game thrown against them or a no-hitter?
Yeah.
You know, and they could have been rolling right along, you know, winning ball game after ball game. All of a sudden they run into a pitcher that's hot and throws a no-hitter.
Oh, absolutely. Now, the Blue Jays at 17-25. Dwayne, in seeing the way the Blue Jays were going in that four-game winning streak this week, and you never know, they could come back and beat the Yankees in the next two games and win the series. So we'll
Absolutely.
See what happens. But in seeing this week out of the Toronto Blue Jays so far with that four-game winning streak, you know, we've been waiting here in Toronto, you know, for the Blue Jays to get out of it. Is this now where the Blue Jays get out of it and they started getting on a roll? Did you kind of feel that in that four-game winning streak?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, you know, you saw the offense that the Jays are capable of, and that's, you know, what I think everybody's, you know, been waiting for. And, you know, Burley, you know, even though he took the loss tonight, I mean, his last couple starts out there, he's been pretty dang good. Dickey's thrown the ball good last few times out there. You know, so, I mean, it's, you know, you're starting to see some things coming together, and, you know, it's going to get to a point now, and, you know, where these guys are, you know, not really looking at taking series, but, you know, winning weeks, you know, taking 5 out of 7 for the week or 6 out of 7 for the week, you know, and not trying to, you know, look too far ahead. And that's something that, you know, I think it's, you know, 17-25, you know, you kind of got to start doing that.
Burley hasn't beaten the Yankees since April 10th, 2004. And obviously that's going to be something that's talked about a lot, given that he's with an AL East team now. But did you ever have a team, Wardo, that...
Oh, I hated them all.
Yeah, but not all of them were successful against you, Wardo. But was there one team, though, that you were like, oh, my God, I don't know what it is. I'm doing everything right. I'm doing everything I want to do. I'm putting the ball right where I want it, but these guys just have my number.
Yes, you know what? When people talk to me about it, the first team that comes to mind that, you know, seemed to really... you know, put it to me a little bit was the Milwaukee Brewers. And I don't know what it was about them, but, you know, it just, you know, I got my first, you know, first American League win against them. I got my first American League save against them. And it was all downhill from there. I mean, it just seemed like wherever I threw the ball, they were going to put it in play and it was going to be a base hit.
Yeah. And then you retire. And after that, they switch over to the National League.
Exactly. They get rid of them. You know, it would have been great to have them do that, you know, years ago.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just there's certain teams out there that just, you know, have pitchers' numbers and hitters, you know, pitchers have the team's number, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I went a few years there where, you know, I beat up on Texas and Detroit and Kansas City, you know, where I didn't give up runs to them for, you know, a year or two. And so, I mean, it was, you know, just certain teams just you know, I got the better of them, and then, you know, the one team that I mentioned, you know, the Brewers, I mean, they got the better of me, you know, more times than not.
Yeah, now looking at this Blue Jays team right now, I mean, the Yankees beating them for the fifth straight time this season in New York and 7 times in 8 games overall, and really at 8-16 right now versus the division, they're going to take on the Yankees for the rest of this series, obviously. Then they're going to come home and take on the Rays and the Orioles. If the Blue Jays are going to make a run here, they've got to be better within their division.
Absolutely, and that's, you know, and it's, you know, goes back to what I said, you know, win the series, but win the week. You know, it's just going to get to a point where it doesn't matter who you're playing, you know, you got to win ball games to you know, kind of jump over guys in front of you. And when you do play teams in your own division, you have definitely got to take 2 out of 3, 3 out of 4, or sweep them.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you can make up that full game, you know, instead of just making up a half game here and there. I mean, you got to make up those full games. But, you know, I look at the Jays and I see a lot of things coming together. And, I, you know, the bullpen's been really good this year. starting pitching starting to come around where I think, you know, everybody's expected, and the hitting's starting to come alive. I mean, they run into a buzzsaw. I mean, just take your hats off to the pitcher. Tomorrow, go out there, tack up 10, 15 runs on somebody and, you know, win the ballgame.
Dwayne Ward with us on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm Jeff Sammet. Hey, Wardle, let's talk about Ricky Romero, okay? I remember, you know, before the season opener, I was coming out of the Blue Jays locker room, and I bumped into you, and we had a good chat, and we talked about Ricky Romero then. And looking at him right now, recently in a couple of starts for the Buffalo Bisons, has pitched in a combined at just 7 1/3 innings, giving up 8 runs on 14 hits and 11 walks, and that's in the 2 starts here. What are your thoughts on Ricky Romero of late, and what would you do to kind of try to right this ship?
Well, you know, I think first and foremost, I mean, I think they're doing the right thing with Ricky, you know, really trying to work on his mechanics, because I think Ricky, you know, I mean, all of people remember when, you know, Ricky's never really had the best mechanics. Mm-hmm. And I think he's got to really start, you know, trying to refine on, trying to reduce excess motion and really start getting back on track, going to home plate, because a lot of times when I, you know, the few times that I have seen him throw, you know, he's just not getting himself squared up to home plate and, you know, not getting full extension. And that to me is making it difficult for him to, you know, to throw the way he did a couple of years ago, you know, where every time he threw a pitch, it was right where he wanted to, you know. And this guy was such a, you know, such a good pitcher, you know, such a bulldog. And now it's, I guarantee it's in his head that every time he goes out there and starts, the minute something bad happens, he's telling himself, here we go again. And he's got to get that out of his mind. I mean, that's just something that, you know, guys in the past like, you know, Mackie Sasser, Mark Wohlers, Ankiel was another one that you know just had problems hitting a target.
Yeah,
and it's just something that guys go through to where it's just it's almost like getting the yips in golf.
Yeah,
and you can't get rid of them. And I think Ricky's at that point now where he's got to make some big changes. He's got to make some mechanical changes, some mental changes. And if he doesn't, I'm afraid that, you know, Ricky's going to be, you know, stuck where he's at for a while, until he's willing to just, you know, I guess revamp everything and try to say, let's try something completely different and let's try to go back and get on where I was at 2 years ago.
Well, and you talked briefly there about his finish in being square to the plate. Something else that they had done with him that I thought was the most noticeable difference, at least to me, was that his shoulders are relaxed and they're not right up around his ears. He's got his shoulders down. Which is going to make for, one would think, a nicer and easier delivery.
A little bit more relaxed.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that makes that much of a difference?
You know what? Absolutely. You cannot throw a baseball tense at all. I mean, you really want to tense up right before you let the ball go so you don't throw it up into the stands. Mm-hmm. But, you know, watching Ricky, I think it looks like he's almost trying to pinpoint some stuff and he has too good of stuff to try to do that, and that's where I think he gets into a lot of trouble. And, you know, it's bad and it's sad to, you know, to see him, you know, struggling the way he is, but Ricky's got to be willing to say, you know what, I've got a couple of paths here I can take. I can really try to revamp what I'm doing, try to attack it from a different angle, or stay on the one I'm at, and my career may be in jeopardy.
You know, Wardo, you saw the Blue Jays up close and personal recently as a color analyst for Sportsnet. I kind of wanted to find out from you, what was that experience like for you? How'd you enjoy it?
It was wonderful. It was wonderful.
Did a great job.
You know, well, thank you so much. You know, I was a little bit nervous, and, you know, Buck and Jack, you know, they really made me feel comfortable and made me feel at home up there and didn't really, you know, ask too much. And you know, I tried not to talk too much about baseball, which I love talking about baseball. And you know, I can't thank Sportsnet, Rob Corte and Doug Walton, all those guys that are, you know, associated with that, you know, for inviting me to come up and do that. I'd be more than happy to do it again and give another go at it.
Well, it was a lot of fun, and especially love getting to hear your stories and stuff. I mean, that's why I keep asking you back, Wardo, because I love your stories. And you know, what I love about you as well, and we've talked about this before, is your brutal honesty. I mean, you're not going to hold back, and I know I appreciate that, and listeners and viewers are going to appreciate that as well.
Well, the biggest thing is that if you consistently lie to somebody or not tell them the whole truth, I mean, it's going to get them to where it's going to be a false sense of security.
Mm-hmm.
it's easy to go out there and say you've done great, you've done great, you've done great. But when you go out there and try to be a little bit more constructive, constructive criticism,
yeah,
then I think that's when they start realizing I've got to make a few changes here to get better. And that's the objective of being a pitcher, a hitter, or a fielder, or whatever, is to go out there and say, what can I do to get better today? And that's, you know, instead of just resting on your laurels, and that's not what baseball's all about, because it's such a game of adjust and readjust. And guys have got to do that, or they're just going to stay stagnant and not get any better and not produce the way they're capable of producing.
You know, I wonder, because I think we've got an embarrassment of riches here in Toronto when you got the likes of yourself, Jack Morris, Pat Tabler, Buck Martinez, Dirk Hayers now, you know, in the booth, that have been around, that have had different experiences. When you were here, did you have, you know, let's say Casey Jansen, you know, I would think an equivalent of yours, given that you guys have the same job at one point. Do you have anybody kind of take advantage of the fact that you were in the city? Anybody kind of bend your ear, ask you some questions? Were you able to sit down with anybody?
A few of the guys I talked to Casey, you know, I try to every time I go up into Toronto and mm-hmm. and just ask, you know, how things are going, you know. And I mean, right now he's on such a little hot streak where, you know, you don't want to mess with Casey at
right.
all. I mean, he's been throwing the ball so well and pinpointing the way he's capable of pinpointing. But, you know, talking to, like, you know, Rogers, I talked to Ricky after that first start that he had back in Toronto, mm-hmm. just trying to give him my thought about, you know, we've all been there. We've all have struggled at one point in time or more than one time in our career. And it's just, you know, maybe what I did to help myself get out of the, you know, this, you know, the funk or, you know, the yips or whatever, maybe it will help them.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's the biggest thing. I try not to, you know, encroach upon their space or the way they do things. But, you know, I'll talk to them and just tell them, you know, hey, you know, they're better than they, you know, than what they're showing right now, and they need to pick it up. And, you know, it's just stuff like that to really make them, you know, just sit back and look at themselves in the mirror and say, you're right, I need to pick it up a little bit. You know, go out there and with a little bit more intensity or a little bit more fire, and stop letting people take advantage of me.
Eduardo, Honda Super Camps, May 24th to 26th in Waterloo. Going to have
yep.
Roberto Alomar, Sandy Alomar Sr., Homer Bush, Lloyd Mosby, and yourself.
And Devon White is actually, he was added to it. Yeah, he was added to it because we're getting a lot of registrations in Waterloo-Kitchener area. I think we're up around 130, 140 kids. So, I mean, it's getting to a point where we're going to, you know, probably have to close it off. So, kids out there listening, you know, get signed up before we close it off. And then, we, you know, right after that, we go to Halifax out on the East Coast. At the first part of June, so, and then I'll be back up in Toronto the, you know, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th of June. So I'm looking forward to it. I love the Honda Super Camps. I mean, they're something that, you know, I am very passionate about. And now, you know, the Blue Jays have given that website, and I think you and I have talked about it, mm-hmm. the bluejays.com/Wardo, where people can actually go out and they can help sponsor kids into our camps and you know, kind of read a little bit about the story behind why I, you know, am so involved with, you know, sponsoring and getting kids sponsored in, and, you know, all the other programs that, you know, the Blue Jays and the Jays Care Foundation, you know, are part of.
Yeah, well, you guys got a great thing going, and I'm looking forward to seeing you here when you're in Toronto. Wardo, you're a good man. Thanks for joining us as always, pal. Appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Jeff. Anytime you guys need to talk, just give me a holler.